providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report and continuing on with the trend from those first two segments, we're going to be focusing on many different sectors within these markets and a lot of strength that we continue to see in these sectors. These two segments being recorded after the Fed meeting on Thursday. And boy, oh boy, we saw just a continuation to the upside in a lot of sectors. We're chatting right now with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago and editor of the LionShare Pro website. Dana, I'm going to start off with the same question that I asked Mike in the first segment here is these U.S. markets continue to extend higher, but we keep on hearing about how a pullback is due. Are we going to get a pullback sometime soon in these markets, Dana?
Yeah, good question. And again, it depends what market you're talking about. You know, the broader market, the broader U.S. equity market, has pretty much been going sideways since the beginning of the year, you know, for the most part, whether you look at the value line, the median stock, or the smaller cap averages, which basically has topped out the first of the year or just before the first of the year and more or less gone sideways since. So that's, you know, the better part of 3 months of moving sideways. So I would say that's in a way, in essence, some sort of a pullback or at least a consolidation or reset that stores up potential fuel for the next extension of the rally. If you're talking about, you know, tech stocks, AI, semiconductors, mega caps, that type of thing. Yeah, those are extended still. We haven't seen any type of material pullback in those stocks. So a little bit of a breather there, like we've seen in the broader market, would not be surprising nor unhealthy. But at the same time, just because markets continue higher doesn't mean we necessarily need a correction or a pause. You know, it's best, you know, ride the trend. It doesn't mean when you're considering investment selection, doesn't mean you have to chase those things that are up on a rope. You can find other newer relative strength names that are plentiful within the market that aren't as extended that might participate to a greater fashion in the next part of the upleg.
Well, Dana, let's pull on that string for a second, because to your point, if you look at just the broad market indexes, the weighted indexes, they're telling a different story than the equal weight indexes are, or the small caps or the mid caps. So instead of chasing the high flyers, obviously, you know, you don't want to be shorting them because they're still moving higher. There could be a lot more opportunity in the wider market breadth. So are there any sectors within, you know, the broader markets that have your attention as maybe a better setup that haven't run as much yet?
Yeah, sure. Like we talked about last time, we were buying biotech in the pullback over the last week or so, because biotech, healthcare in general, had more recently broken out, hadn't run as much, just pulled back towards the breakout point. So that's one example in a sector. Just speaking, looking at the broad market in general, you look at something like the equal weight S&P, which is, I guess, over the last couple of weeks been kind of consolidating at those former highs that they set back at the beginning of 2022. So basically, yeah, they've had a nice run in the last month or two, but basically have gone sideways over the last couple of years. So I think there's significant more upside potential in something like the equal weight or something like the mid-cap average, which is doing the same, pretty much paused at former highs before trying to break out. And then a couple of pure value plays that we've talked about over the last couple months that are pretty indicative historically of risk on versus risk off. So if they're running higher, it's a good sign of risk on. And you have something like the mid-cap pure value. RFV would be a ticker symbol, or the small cap pure value, RZV, broader value plays that have pretty much gone sideways over the last 3-4 years or so and have just started to move to the upside. So we had, you know, a nice move in those areas in the fourth quarter, ran up, either broke out or ran up right to former highs that have also moved sideways over the last 3 months. Those look poised to potentially break out and extend their run higher. So if we do get signs from those or evidence from those areas of a breakout new up leg higher, that would be certainly a sign to us of continued risk on in the market, which and potentially an acceleration of risk on, at least in the near term. So those are a couple areas that are not extended that you could, even if you're, you know, pulling your horns in a little bit in some of those tech areas, roll some money into these areas that, so you don't, you're not moving money out of the market, but you're not necessarily in those high flyers that are more, you know, at risk of some sort of a pullback.
Very interesting. Yeah, look at those mid caps and even the small caps. They are starting to break out after what you just outlined, kind of a consolidation period. That looks like there's potential there. Are there any sectors that you're flat out avoiding, not because they've run too much to the upside, but because they've underperformed so much and they just haven't broke out? They're not even threatening to break out?
Yeah, I mean, even as we said, talked about the last couple of shows that, you know, there's the array of what we call relative strength or names that are performing well. There's certainly plentiful names out there, and one sign of or another piece of evidence that gives us confidence in the sustainability right now of this rally, just the breadth of areas that are performing. At the same time, it doesn't mean everything's performing. So some of those defensive names, sectors, utilities, for example, haven't done much. Maybe it's time for some rotation in there. I don't know. Real estate, some of the real estate names, consumer staples has shown some signs of life, hasn't been great. But again, if we are going to have further, you know, extensions to the rally, we should probably see money eventually rotate into those names. But until that happens, we're satisfied to keep our money elsewhere as long as those areas that we do have our money in continue to perform. That's where we'd like our money. Once we see evidence of kind of a shift in relative strength, then we're happy to shift.
Well, Dana, just in listening to those sectors, thinking about real estate or thinking about utilities or consumer staples, those are really in the value camp. Are you more leaning towards staying with growth right now then versus value based on those comments?
From a pure sector standpoint, yes, because that's what keeps showing up on our screens on our scans as leading the way from a relative strength standpoint. But on the flip side, looking at some of those cap weighted or cap based pure value plays like the mid cap and the small cap pure value, there's signs there that those areas in particular might be setting up to lead the next up leg of the rally. So I guess it's maybe a barbell approach to some extent, or just more of just a diversified portfolio right now for us. Again, the key in diversifying for us though is whatever we put our money in, it has to be performing right now. We're not diversifying just for the sake of diversifying, because most of the time there are areas, you know, you look at utilities or whatever that have been lagging. That, all right, if you are diversified across everything, there's some areas the market is going to be, you know, dragging on your portfolio. We prefer to try to avoid that and just concentrate in those areas that are performing the best. And again, if there are a wide array of sectors of market segments that are performing that we would call relative strength, all the better as far as we're concerned.
All right, Dana, let's shift into a couple commodities then, starting off with gold. You know how we like to talk about gold, and well, that's also been on a run on a daily, weekly, and even monthly basis, very close to some overbought levels. Gold just touched 2200 midweek. I know you've been riding that gold train. How much longer, how much higher could gold go?
Yeah, well, considering it just broke out, I mean, it could be substantially higher. This is, it looks like the breakout that we've been waiting for. Again, gold's pretty much gone nowhere for the last 3 or 4 years. So again, storing up some potential fuel, some potential buying demand once we do see the breakout, which we've seen. So just looking at GLD trading around 200, I would say we definitely see up above 220 next, and eventually 240, I would say, would be reasonable targets if this breakout is legit, which, again, I don't see any reason why it shouldn't be. Obviously, in modern times, you have more of chance of seeing false breakouts, false breakdowns in the short term, because I think hot money chases after it, and the Johnny come latelys tend to get burned by the pros. So I wouldn't be surprised to see, you know, some kind of a pullback, maybe. But if we do pull back towards that breakout area around that 190 level on GLD, it certainly would be adding to our position there.
Well, Dana, let's look at the rest of the precious metals complex. Silver and the precious metal stocks. I know you look at SLV for silver and then also something like GDX or GDXJ. How are you looking at those other components of the precious metal sector?
Right. So as you know, we've been holding smaller positions in the miners, expecting breakout in gold and expecting that to pull up those miners and those equity positions eventually. And looks like that has started. So happy to see that. This certainly is a lot of, after several years of rough trading, there's plenty of chart resistance to get through at this point in most of those miners positions and ETFs. But we're starting to chip away at that. And if miners of the equities do decide to start catching up to, you know, the metals, we could see really an acceleration of that move to the upside. And I would say probably the moves would happen pretty quickly. So that's one reason that we've kept the position mentioned in the past is more of, we viewed it more as like an option position. You know, we think we're pretty confident it's going to eventually move. Just don't know when, and when it does happen, we want to be there to catch it. So that's where we're at. Another one that is interesting to us is the copper miners, which has really moved nicely over the last week or so, moving up towards, you know, 52-week highs and leading the way among the miners group. So I'm sure fundamentalists are going to look for some reasons behind that. And maybe your viewers have some theories behind that. Honestly, we don't really care as much as we want to capture what is happening, even if we don't know why. But the move in copper miners has been certainly encouraging, and to some extent, copper itself.
Man, look at that COPEX chart. Look at that volume spike. We haven't seen volume like this, well, in the chart that I have going back over 10 years. Do you care at all when you see a volume spike as great as we have seen in the copper miners ETF COPEX?
Yeah, again, like I mentioned, we don't look at volume a ton. Typically, volume's pretty predictable. You see lower volume on up moves, and then you see the highest volume in down moves, especially at lows. So the argument that, okay, that these up moves are not coming on much volume doesn't really carry much weight to us, because it's usually during those panicky, fear type environments that you see an uptick in volume, whether it's a particular security or across the board in the broader market. So to your point, when we do see an uptick in volume on an up move, especially coming off of kind of doldrums down here after we've traded sideways for a while, when you do see a spike up in volume on those types of moves, I think it does mean a little bit more to us, gives us a little bit more confidence that, okay, maybe this move is durable, as opposed to, okay, if it comes after a long up move, then it's more likely a sign of maybe the ending of the type of move. But right at the beginning, definitely I would rather see big volume there than not a lot of money moving into it.
Yeah, Dana, nice to see some of those moves in the copper miners on the bigger volume. And I think some of it has to do with copper piercing above $4 again, getting investors excited about it. Let's talk about a sector in the commodities that's not been as exciting, but it has had a recent move higher, and that is the energy space, oil and net gas, in particular oil. Oil's back above 80 now. Do you think that that has some legs to run to the upside, or is that just a momentary blip higher?
Yeah, oil to us can kind of been range bound. Hard to get too excited. There have been a number of assets that I would categorize there, including a lot of the currencies. But oil's been kind of more or less range bound. Hard to get too excited about it either way. But definitely showing some signs of strength of late. As far as some of the energy equities, I'm a little bit more excited about those. They've had a rough, really underperformed since the equities in general bottom last October. I think part of that is because they outperformed during that third quarter pullback in equities. So a little bit of a rotational effect there. They are certainly showing signs of life. We've got some, seen some areas in the oil space and the energy space moving back to new highs already. So that's good to see. And if there are legs to this oil move, which is appears to be just starting, certainly there should be plenty more legs in the energy equities as well. So we're maintaining a little bit of a position there. Like to see, we've got a small cap energy ETF. We'd like to start leading to the upside as well.
Yeah, the small cap seem to have lagged broadly for a lot of commodity sectors, but you look at XLE, the larger energy stocks, that's breaking out. What about natural gas, though? Because, boy, oh boy, we have a lot of people consistently trying to pick the bottom in natural gas, saying it can't get much worse than it just was down at about $1.50. But it hasn't really rebounded all that much, and the equities haven't done anything. So any life in the natural gas sector, the natural gas equities?
There's a penny stock that I look at. We don't trade much in the way of individual stocks for our clients. So I couldn't tell you all the names in that sector. This one that I've been looking at has been certainly running for the last 6 months or so. So maybe that's a sign of life, potential life in natural gas itself. I don't know, but I do know they don't call natural gas the widowmaker for no reason. It's been a difficult asset to trade for many people. And I would put ourselves in that category. So unless there's something extremely compelling to us, I typically shy away from that. But right now, I don't see anything particularly compelling. Maybe from a contrarian standpoint, that's a bullish sign. But right now, I don't see anything.
Well, Dana, while we're talking energy, we've talked a couple times about the uranium space, both the metal and the mining stocks related to uranium. How are you looking at that sector right now after it's pulled back for the last couple of weeks?
So that's one a good example of the short-term breakout and breakdown effects that I was mentioning earlier. In modern days, it's more likely to see a false breakout or false, I should say, breakouts fail temporarily, at least in the short term, before turning around and running higher. So you get people jumping on the breakout that honestly 30 years ago would have been pretty reliable to dump money into on a breakout and get a nice run after that. Now it's typically a rug pull. So in the short term, we did see a rug pull in the miners, in uranium itself, broke initial support, which led the way down to the next level of support, which is held nicely. We got to get back up through what I would call the pivot level in uranium, uranium miners as well, which more or less comes in around the 50-day average, which we don't place a ton of stock, but just looking at each of those charts, I would say that the key level to watch would be around that 50-day average in those areas. If we can decisively move back above there, maybe we start that next leg up in that space.
So, Dana, let's then look at the bond market here, because yields have rebounded throughout, I guess, this year. We had a little bit of weakness at the beginning of March, but the 10-year has been broadly above 4%. I know that you're on the long-term view that rates should continue to rise. Have we seen a renewed bearish market for bonds that will drive yields higher?
Well, again, like you mentioned, we're very bearish probably over the next couple decades on bonds. I think yields go much higher. But at the same time, you know, nothing goes in a straight line. I think this area around 4% that you mentioned is extremely important, both as a retracement from prior highs, including the highs back in the early 80s, as well as some retracement support from the lows in 2020. So we are above there now, trading somewhere around 430, I believe. but can't really get anything in any separation from that 4%-ish level to the upside. So right now, I think the jury is still out as far as where are we, you know, back above 4% to stay? Or did we see, you know, at the end of last year, that move up above 4%, we spiked up to 5%? That might still be a one of those false breakouts that we were just discussing and setting the leg for maybe one more pullback before we do decisively move higher. So I know that doesn't give you much of an answer on the one hand, on the other hand, but in our view, yes, we're above that 4% level, but jury's still out. I would not be shocked to see that 4% level give way and shoot back down towards that 3.25, maybe even 275 level before maybe bottoming and then moving higher decisively again.
Well, Dana, when we're talking interest rates, it also makes me think of currencies. You mentioned that a lot of markets are still kind of stuck in a range. That's how you were looking at the oil market. And you mentioned a lot of currencies, same thing. How are you looking at the greenback, the US dollar? And then are there any other currency pairs that have your eye?
Right now, again, dollar's basically right in the middle of the range. It's been in for well over a year now, I guess. So our niche is really in the equity market. So 90%+ of our allocation typically going to be in equities unless we see something substantially compelling in other markets. Right now, we don't see that in the dollar in currencies. So it doesn't give us much of impetus to aggressively trade that market. You know, I know other people may focus or may have an expertise in the currencies more so than we do. So they might have different opinions, but right now we don't see anything extremely compelling. I would say where the currency has helped us has been in some of those hedged currency instruments, the foreign equities that are hedged in currencies, whether it's Japan or Europe. Ticker symbols would be DXJ and HEDJ. Those have been two of the best performing positions in our portfolios for a long time. They are extended, certainly, so it doesn't mean you go out and chase them, but they continue to run to new highs and show relative strength. So from that standpoint, if price is a good indicator, which it typically is, that would suggest to us that this strength in the dollar may continue, that the weakness in other currencies may continue. But that's just purely from watching the charts of these other instruments, which continue to fly higher. So that would be probably the most significant currency observation I would have right now.
So, Dana, I guess big picture, stepping back, it sounds like you're A, continuing to see a lot of opportunities out there. Some sectors that have lagged the Magnificent Seven or the high-flying tech stocks, they're starting to break out. Are you right now more diversified than you have been over the last year or two because of all these different opportunities you're seeing out there?
Yeah, absolutely. We've got probably more positions than we've had on. And like you mentioned, a couple of years, I guess back in 2021, we saw a nice broad advance. But outside of that, we haven't seen this much, many examples of what, again, we would call relative strength in a while, certainly since that move about 3 years ago. So, and again, that's probably, if you ask me what's the best sign of, you know, a sustainable or a high confidence rally in the equity market, I would say it's the breadth of the rally, you know, the broad base, how broad based the rally is, how much participation there is. And we're still seeing a broad participation in the rally. Like you mentioned, there are no shortage of market segments across the board that are participating in the rally. And that, again, that gives a stronger foundation to the rally, suggests it is more apt to continue. Once you see some of those relative strength names starting to fall off or fall by the wayside, then you start to get a little bit concerned about the durability of the rally. But right now, I would say you still see enough participation, broad participation, to give us confidence to maintain a substantially long portfolio. Again, you look at just the one data point within that space would be the advanced decline line, which continues after breaking out to a new high a couple weeks ago, continues to move to new highs. So that is just one, if you're going to look at one indicator, that's one good one to look at in terms of confirming the breadth or confirming perhaps the sustainability of this intermediate term rally.
All right, Dana, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts right now. And it has been for a little while a good environment to be invested in a wide range of sectors. Who knows how long this will continue, but it sounds like from what you're seeing, there could be some further legs to this rally. We'll definitely follow up with you in another couple weeks, but hey, in the meantime, keep up the great work. I love reading over the Lion's Share Pro website, all the content you send out. And for everyone who wants more information on that, you just have to click that link within the Weekend Show posting. Dana, thank you for your time on this Weekend Show. Everyone, thanks for tuning in to the Weekend Show. Please remember to go back through our website, kereport.com, and podcast and YouTube page under The KE Report to keep up to date with all our daily editorials. Everyone, I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.